The scripture that reading this morning is found in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. I'll be reading today from the New International Version. And it says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son, or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Our speaker this morning will be Kathleen Fitzgibbons. She's an associate elder at the Worcester Seventh-day Adventist Church, a longtime teacher, lover of the Lord.
All through our life, if we chose to do so, we can come closer and closer and closer to God. When we read and reread his sacred word, we come to know him a little more and a little more. We learn to recognize his anger, his wrath, his disappointment, his sorrow. When we study the Bible, we also come to understand that when we live the lives that he has ordained us to live, we bring him great joy and delight. In the moments of our most honest, personal introspection, we always are taken by surprise with the persistent, unconditional love that God shows us. On rare occasions, our creative faith may imagine what God is thinking in regarding certain circumstances or behavior, or maybe a message that he gave. This morning, I ask you, have you ever imagined the thoughts and feelings God has for the fourth commandment? I'm certain that he has some. Albert Einstein once said, "I want to know the thoughts of God." I'll tell you the truth, so do I. 8 of the 10 commandments start with the word you. You shall have no other gods before you. You shall not make yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord God. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false witness. Only the fourth and the fifth commandment start with another word, remember and honor. It's as if God paused in midstream when he was writing the fourth commandment, as if he said to himself, "I must be careful with this one. I must say it slowly and with great meaning." The Hebrew word zakor, remember, means more than just recalling something that is past. It asks us to actively focus our mind on something in the present. I like the word remember. There's something gentle about it. It's altogether different than saying, "Don't forget." We can almost hear God saying, "Remember, remember, I love you." He said this long ago, and it says it now. When I read the Old Testament, you can see that the importance of the Sabbath is highly, highly regarded by God. The prophets brought specific messages from God that expressed precisely how he felt about the Sabbath. Let me read just one message that Jeremiah recorded. It's found in Jeremiah 17. I'm going to be reading this passage from the Message Bible, Jeremiah 17, 19 to 27. God's message to me: go stand at the people's gate, the one used by Judah's kings, as they come and go, and they proceed and turn through all the gates of Jerusalem. Tell them, listen, you kings of Jerusalem, listen to God's message. And all you people who go in and out of the gates, you listen. This is God's message. Be careful. If you care about your lives, do not desecrate the Sabbath by turning it into just another work day, lugging stuff here and there. Don't use the Sabbath to do business as usual. Keep the Sabbath day holy, as I commanded your ancestors. They never did it, as you know. They paid no attention to what I said and went about their own business, refusing to be guided or instructed by me. But now, take seriously what I tell you. Quit desecrating the Sabbath by busily going about your own business, your own work, and keep the Sabbath day holy, not doing business as usual. Then kings from the time of David and their officials will continue to ride through these gates on horses and chariots. The people of Judah and citizens of Jerusalem will continue to pass through them, and Jerusalem will always be filled with people. People will stream in from all over Judah, from the province of Benjamin, from Jerusalem's suburbs, from foothills and mountains and deserts. They'll come to worship, bringing all kinds of offerings, animals and grains and incense, expressions of thanks, into the sanctuary of God. But if you won't listen to me, won't keep the Sabbath holy, won't keep using the Sabbath for doing your own work, busily going in and out of the gates with your own self-important business, then I'm going to burn the gates down. In fact, I'll burn down the whole city, palaces and all, with a fire that nobody will be able to put out. If the Sabbath is this important to God, how can it not be important to us? When I was a young woman and read the Bible cover to cover for the first time, it only took me one complete reading to understand that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. It has taken me 47 years to understand it is the presence of God that makes the Sabbath holy. There were two specific biblical reasons why I initially accepted the seventh day Sabbath. The first was the story about how God sent manna to the Hebrews in the wilderness with precise directions on how to collect it and how to use it. I'd like to read that story to you. It's found in Exodus 16. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer of each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who had gathered much did not have too much, and he who had gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses, and they kept part of it until the next morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they were to gather twice as much, 2 omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until the morning." So they saved it until the morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, and it did not breed maggots. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you're to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be no manna." I do not know how you keep the Sabbath or when you began, but I know that the second reality that I found in the Bible that helped me have faith in the Sabbath day was the story of Jesus in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. All 4 Gospels of the writers tell us that Jesus was buried on the preparation day. The Bible clarifies this by saying that is the day before Sabbath, that he rested in the tomb on Sabbath, and then when the Sabbath was over, on the first day of the week, Jesus was resurrected. There are other proof texts in the Bible, but these are the 2 that brought the truth of Sabbath to me. I began observing the Sabbath in the way that rituals are performed. I locked myself into the time parameter of sundown Friday evening to sundown Saturday evening. Because I was a full-time working mother and the blue laws were still in effect, my schedule seemed to have no room for the promised rest that comes with the Sabbath. By the time my children started school, the end of the week was a frantic struggle to be ready for sundown. All my poor children would hear me say is, "Hurry up, hurry up, the sun is setting." As far as a clean house, there wasn't a water bead in my sink, not a speck of dust on the floor, no one, nothing out of place. There wasn't even anything in the waste baskets. I must admit, once the Sabbath arrived, I was calm, but getting there was a disaster. One day, my college roommate witnessed my practice cleaning frenzy. She went down on her knees on my rug and picked up an imaginary thread, and she said, "Here, you missed something." After that gentle chiding, I learned to manage my time. Wednesday night I cleaned upstairs, Thursday night I cleaned downstairs, Friday afternoon I cooked, and in the summer my children and I would collect wildflowers. We always had a lovely Sabbath morning table, pretty dishes, special food, and flowers. But my heart had not yet developed the pattern of behavior that it needed to honor the Sabbath day in a full and acceptable way. When we are learning something new, it's always good to start with what we understand, what we already know, the physical, outside things. The spiritual inner essence of who I was becoming, my heart, needed to be in sync with the Sabbath rituals. The kind of learning takes a lifetime of listening to the Holy Spirit's wisdom. There is a lovely book called The Sabbath Day, and it's written by the well-known Jewish theologian Abraham Joshua Heschel. Here is some of the ways that he describes the Sabbath. The Sabbath comes like a caress wiping away fear, sorrow, and somber memories. We need the Sabbath in order to survive civilization. Gallantly, ceaselessly, quietly, man must fight for inner liberty, to remain independent of the enslavement of the material world. What we are depends on what the Sabbath is to us. The Sabbath does not simply come into being on Saturdays. The depth of its experience is created by how we behave on the other 6 days of the week. They are a pilgrimage to the Sabbath. Unless one learns how to relish the taste of Sabbath, one will be unable to enjoy the taste of eternity in the world to come. The world's survival depends upon the holiness of the Sabbath day. The Sabbath is an opportunity to mend our tattered lives. The Sabbath is the most precious present mankind has received from the treasure house of God. There is a word that is seldom said, a word for the emotion almost too deep to be expressed, the love of the Sabbath day. The word is rarely found in our literature, yet for more than 2,000 years, the emotion filled our songs and moods. It was as if whole people were in love with the seventh day. This man understands and can articulate the value of the Sabbath. To me, the Sabbath is a gift day. It's like no other. The sacredness is found in the time, not the place. If we are exiled, if we are quarantined, if we are lost or sick or unable to put one foot in front of the other, we still have possession of the gift. If I am at camp in the wilderness in northern Maine, and the Sabbath day is about to come, it's just about going to begin. I walk down the path to the headland. I stand there by myself, looking at Umbazooka Stream and the mountains beyond and the sky above, and I sing. Day is done. Gone the sun, from the lakes, from the hills, from the sky, all is well, safely rest, God is nigh. And if I'm at home when the sun is setting on a Friday evening, I open my back door and I stand on the top step and I sing the same song. I know God is on his way to spend time with me. This is a scheduled meeting between us. I have waited all week, and I'm going to be ready when he gets here. No one can ever take the Sabbath away from us. We can misplace it, or ignore it, or profane it, or deny it, but the Sabbath day will still exist. From now through eternity, the love of Sabbath will keep us safe. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a gift you have indeed given us, all of us, wherever we are, with whomever we are. Lord, your Sabbath is the Sabbath day, to be honored, to be kept holy, to honor you, Lord. And the more we learn of you, the more we learn of the Sabbath. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We pray that we can be your people in every possible way. We say these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
That brings a close to our online service this morning. We thank you for joining us, and we look to see you next Sabbath.
Welcome, welcome, blessed Sabbath day. lofty standing, with heavenly beauty shine. Keep the Sabbath holy and worship Him today, who said to His disciples, I am the living way. And if we meekly follow our Savior here below, He'll give us of the fountain whose streams eternal flow. Day of sacred pleasure, its golden hours we'll spend in thankful hymns to Jesus, the children's dearest friend. O gentle, loving Savior,